Hello and welcome to Did I Scratch Podcast. It's a podcast where we lock me in a room that is 4x4, full of mosquitoes, and then Jared and Talen monitor me for 3 days to see if I scratched.
Spoilers.
It's brutal.
He did. I guess there's no point to do it now.
Yeah.
They know the end, so.
Yep.
Let's do Did I Save instead.
We might as well do Did I Save, I guess. It's our other podcast that's about video games. It's about how games change and how video games change us.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, have they changed us.
So deeply.
Yeah.
Today we're here specifically to grieve losses.
We're here to talk about games that we were so excited for, and then we're just kind of disappointed in.
Indeed.
Letdowns. Not necessarily maybe bad games, but just maybe not what we were hoping for.
No, they're bad games.
They are bad games. Let's get that straight.
Don't be polite.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our...
We hate these games.
We want to talk about our most disappointment.
If I see these games in the street, it's on site.
Yeah. Talen said, while eating a piece of pizza, he said he could guess our games. And we haven't discussed this beforehand.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Okay.
No, you said you could. You said you were really confident.
I am confident that at one point that you were disappointed.
No, you're changing it. This is a game that we are going to talk about.
For me, I think it's difficult because I am very cautious once I've been burned. And mm-hmm. The thing is, like, part of the reason that I listen to so many podcasts every day
mm-hmm.
is because I want to know everything about games and I love games. But also because I don't want to spend $60 on a game that I don't like. And alternatively, I do want to spend $60 on a game that no one else has ever heard of, but is apparently very good.
Okay.
So I try to stay very knowledgeable about games just because that's kind of where I live mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't have kids.
And I don't. Well, that's a big one. Yeah, I don't have kids. Oh, gosh. Can you imagine having to share games with kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, I don't buy a game unless I'm pretty sure that I'm really going to like it, or at the very least, I know what I'm getting into,
yeah.
So it's hard to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But I do have two that I do feel quite disappointed in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can start with me or you can start with Ryan, but you got to guess one of us. What's our first game that we're going to pick?
I don't know. I'm going to start with Ryan, though.
All right, great. Let's see where this goes.
Brink.
No.
Really?
I didn't even think about Brink. But,
wow.
But it's a good example.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I forgot about that mm-hmm. game.
Dude, you were so pumped.
Yes, I was very pumped for Brink.
You were like, dude, this is going to be the next game, bro.
Yeah.
FPS and, it's you know, maneuverability. And you came in the next day and you were like, this game's trash, bro.
Yeah.
I should go first. My first game's Brink.
Is it really? No way.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I was like, amazing. I don't want to have to no-sell this face for the next 2 minutes.
Bro.
I'm just going to tell him now.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right, cool. Perfect.
Brink was the one that immediately I was like, Brink, Brink's one. Brink's the reason I don't get disappointed with games anymore.
Dude, you really going to do this for Ryan?
You're talking about Brink.
So Ryan just pulled a freaking pickle out of his pocket. Yeah, let me just chomp on this.
What's happening right now?
You're going to get pickle juice all over my...
No, you're talking about Brink.
Uh-huh. So why are you eating a pickle? What the heck? I don't get it.
Ironically, oh, this is not very kosher of you, Ryan.
It's a good thing this is his episode.
I literally don't know what the bit is.
It's not a bit, dude. You're talking about Brink.
Okay. I guess I'll just pretend this isn't happening. So, Brink.
Just mute out his chomping pickle.
Listen, he's going to be the one editing this. You can edit out your own weird chomping face if you want. No one's going to see me.
If anything, he's going to zoom in, just chomping on a pickle.
I'm cutting all this weird conversation out.
This is even for Ryan, this is weird. So anyways,
Brink.
I hear about Brink, this game where they're going to have the smart system. It's going to be smooth movement over random terrain.
Okay.
This game, you're going to be hopping, you're going to be sliding, all with the touch of a button, bro. It's going to be so fluid. The combat's going to be crazy. You play through the story whether you're in multiplayer or single player.
Mm-hmm.
It just replaces it with bots, but you're like, in this big story about you live on an island where the last of humanity is surviving, and it's like a man-made built island, and
you
like.
You gotta do it so close to the mic.
We're not airing this episode. I'm gonna release a public statement. We do not endorse the actions
this
of
is
Ryan
a
Parker.
Strong garlic pickle.
Yeah, I can garlic. Smell it. So I'm into the story. I'm into the ideas. I love shooters. Mm-hmm. All my friends, I've got them all interested in this game.
Yeah.
Which is another big part of my disappointment.
Yeah.
I've got like four friends who are like, heck yeah, let's do this. We're ready to go. We get that game. That game is straight trash, bro. Yeah. And like immediately I'm like, okay, there's only the story is nothing. There's no, the story doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The combat is so flat. It's so like unsatisfying. It's like shooting sponges. The thing I hate the most. All the classes don't really make any difference, and the game forces you to like constantly switch between classes.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find people to play with, the AI will not even help you take objectives. And the objectives are locked into each map, and there's only 8 maps in the game. So it's just this weird amalgamation of like, I don't care what class I am, I don't care who I'm playing with, I don't care what weapons I'm using, nothing is satisfying. So the game is disappointing at basically every level, and all of my friends have now committed $60 to this game, and now my reputation has been forever burned by Brink.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really like, honestly, in a lot of ways, Brink is the reason that I'm not disappointed with games more often, because I am so careful, specifically because of what a bad experience I had with Brink.
With Brink, yeah.
Where for like 2 weeks, me and my friends were like in denial, but increasingly less so as we played this game. And just like, it just gets worse the longer you play it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, dude, how could you hype this game up to be so good and deliver so poorly? It was really my first experience with like marketing lifting a game way beyond its means.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I've never trusted video game marketing since.
That seems totally fair.
Like trailers, like cinematic trailers. I'm like, why did you waste money on a cinematic trailer?
Well, the trailers were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Agreed. The trailers were amazing, and it's like, this means nothing to me now.
Yeah.
This means absolutely nothing. You could just. Like, I don't know, if you're going to market to video gamers, like, show what your video game's about. Like, don't show some...
We learned that day.
Yeah. MMOs are, like, I think the worst, where you get this, like, crazy...
Super epic. Yeah.
The Elder Scrolls MMO has some, like, crazy cool, like, cutscene trailer things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get to the gameplay, and it's like...
Cut to it, yeah.
And it's like, just like, yeah. 12. And that's
12,
why it's a cinematic trailer
for
their...
Who made Brink? Was it Bethesda?
It was published by
Bethesda? Okay.
I don't remember the name of the developer.
Let's just make sure.
But they made Return to Castle Wolfenstein, and they made Quake Arena.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is, like, they made good shooters before that.
Yeah.
It's not even
like
it was a new studio or that it was a genre they'd never done.
Yeah.
They just did. Like, go watch videos. Don't play it. Go watch videos of what
splash.
The shooting in that splash damage.
Splash damage.
Yeah, that's
what
it was.
But the publisher was Bethesda.
Okay.
But just watch how completely, like, there's nothing about the shooting in that game that looks or feels satisfying even to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at it, you can be like, dude, holy cow.
Well,
it feels like they forgot to add any kind of, like, effects to anything that's happening.
Okay.
They did have a good trailer that, in my opinion, was good marketing. That showed you their new engine, like what it could do with the mobility.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff I want to see.
At the time, it looked good.
Yeah.
Like graphically, I guess you can say that for it. But they had this really unique style where all the characters were like really elongated.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I mean, you can't say that there's anything intrinsically cool about humans being extra long, but it looked like they sold that look really well, I think. And it kind of leaned into the aesthetic of the game as well. So I was like, heck yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing like everything they were saying about that movement, which Titanfall and now like the new Black Ops is doing is what they were going for, except they just forgot to make any of the shooting fun. So nothing about the movement really
the real
matters.
Important part.
Yeah, when your destination is pointless.
Yeah, right. And that's what hooked me on the game was the mobility. When I saw that trailer, they were like, our engine is going to look at, you know, what your intention is with your mobility, and it's just gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, it looks really cool.
I feel like in general that age
I think
of
Mirror Edge
is
right. It like took that mobility and stepped it up and made it better.
And just cut most of the combat out. Completely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're like, actually we don't need combat.
Well, let's focus on the mobility and not make this a shooter. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. We won't talk about Mirror's Edge too. But for the most part.
I didn't play Mirror's Edge.
They put a bunch of combat in it.
Yeah. Mistake.
Mistake. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just feel like that was an era of gaming where it was the same time frame that Peter Molyneux was talking about planting seeds and your children picking apples from the trees or whatever, where it was just like you could – marketing was such a huge force behind every game where it was like it was easy to be disappointed back then because there was a lot of CG cutscenes going on. There was a lot of – like pie in the sky ideas about what the game was going to let you do because it was like the age of freedom was really just starting with games. Yeah. Like before that, games were so linear, and now open world games were becoming a thing, and it was just like you had all these ideas floating around at that time. And so to see this first person shooter that's like saying things like our game is just going to know what you want to do and it's going to let you do it. It's just so advanced that it understands you and understands your intentions.
Yeah.
That's why it felt so disappointing to me is because I think that's part of what I was saying was like, that was a time where there were so many things happening where the possibilities were there in theory that it was easy to be misled by a marketing team because it was possible that something truly new and creative could happen because it was already happening with other games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Brink just promised so much at a time where it seemed believable.
Yeah.
That really just...
Yeah. And also in this time frame is that you couldn't easily find... gameplay and stuff at this time because I think Brink came out in like 2009, 2008 or 2009. Mm-hmm. So it's like YouTube is still kind of new.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't come out until 2006, so it's still kind of like now you can find anything anywhere.
It was so curated.
You know what
like,
I mean? So,
no,
yeah.
definitely, absolutely so, no like streamers or no gameplay coming up on YouTube. Everything was like the developers put together a series of clips of this game and release it as a sizzle reel, and that's what you see, and that's
right.
it. And they had so much control over what you saw and what you heard about that game.
Mm-hmm.
And if magazines wanted an exclusive, then they had to be pretty polite about any kind of criticism they wanted to offer that game. So until it came out for review, you really didn't hear very much about it from a negative viewpoint or even from a critical viewpoint.
Yeah.
So it was just like... wrong place, wrong time, I guess. But it really solidified in me a need to like be critical of stuff and like really be sure about something before I dive in and then recommend to my friends that they also spend $60 on a game.
Or
whatever it was back then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Hmm. I think me and Andrew were the only ones who were actually that I knew in my group that were pumped for it and bought it and then disappointed.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you, Taylan? I actually don't think I can even guess or take a.
No, stab. I wouldn't even try.
Gonna think it's a sequel to something.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That you get your expectations. That's one thing we were talking about before the podcast. Is like I feel like a game can't truly be disappointing to you unless it has already raised your expectations to a certain level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sequels are notorious for that.
Last of Us 2.
That's a good one. It is definitely one of the most disappointing games I've ever played, but it's not on my list.
Okay. Yeah. It's not in the top two.
Yeah. Well, it's not one that I chose to talk about.
Okay.
But it's definitely, like, if it's not number one or two, it's number three.
Yeah.
But that game is fun.
Because you're
big
on the story of
the
game.
But I hate the story of the game.
Yeah. You're big on the story of a game, so when a sequel comes out, that the story just like, and it happens a lot, where the story just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, why would this happen? This is just like, we need to make a second one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I feel like that's where the direction your game's going to go.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Mine's an older game, actually.
Okay.
Mine is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4.
That's so specific. Okay.
I mean, it can't be 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah,
those games are great.
Yeah. I mean, fantastic.
I'm just surprised it's not, what was it, American Wasteland or whatever it was?
Yeah. I didn't play that. I don't even know if I played 4. I know I played 1 through 3.
Yeah.
You were so burned by 4 that American Wasteland just didn't even register.
It didn't
register.
Even touch it. Yeah.
You're like, exactly. I'm not touching
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 is one of my favorite games.
Yeah,
I love that game.
So good.
It's got great level design. It's got great music.
The music.
It's got great hidden levels. Yeah. It's got great secrets.
It's got the map editor.
Exactly.
Yeah, the map editor.
It's multiplayer. It's got great secret characters. Uh-huh. Like you could play as like Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And you could play as.
It's got great.
Forgot about that.
And
man.
Spider-Man, Wolverine.
There's like, a swamp got, monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they license these characters, or would the publisher just already have licensing access to them? Like,
I don't know.
There's no way they spent the money to get Wolverine in their game.
Marvel was not doing great at this time frame.
I guess that's true. It was probably much easier to get
licenses.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, so I'm pumped for Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4.
Yeah.
It's going to be more expansive. It's going to be better.
What console or what system?
It's PS2. But man, it's like the only thing, the only new mechanic was stitching, where you could hold on to like a car and ride on its back while it's driving.
So many opportunities.
Hold onto the bumper. But it's like all the new levels were just trash. It's like they didn't introduce any real other new mechanics. All the music was just straight up garbage, dude. And this is the time frame that I'm like really getting into skating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like 3 was like the pinnacle point.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kept on doing better. You know, 1, and then they got 2, and then 3 they nailed
it. Of all the franchises, I feel like Tony Hawk really knew how to build for a while. Knew how to build on its predecessor in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
That kept you excited about that game. I mean, people who weren't there for it, I don't think you can truly appreciate how big Tony Hawk was.
Mm-hmm.
For a game about skateboarding, which was like, skateboarding was in part popular because of Tony Hawk. Like,
mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
A whole sport saw a resurgence because of these games. And it wasn't a sim. It wasn't like it was, you know, realistic in skateboarding. It was just such a satisfying game to play.
Yeah.
And they were so smart about, like you were saying, like, their map editor was fantastic. Their levels were really good. Their levels had like the thing that I always talk about with Souls games, where there's like all these little secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's all these different little areas that you can get into, and you're like, oh, I can get back there? Whoa, that's crazy. And there's like a whole, there's stuff here to see.
Exactly.
It's not just like
it's
not just like a new area with a half pipe in it. It's like, oh, there's new quests and stuff in here.
Yeah.
I unlocked a new character.
Yeah, great collectibles, because you want to get those board designs were so cool.
Well, I don't think you could do it in 1, but eventually you could level up your character. Like, you put stats
in there,
how well they can grind or you know, their balance.
Definitely
underground
you were doing that.
But I was just like, because games at the time, you know, it's like I had to like mow lawns to get money to buy this game and just talk about the utter disappointment, man. It just felt like
you've never worked harder for less.
It's like they had like the prison level, and it's just like none of the levels worked for skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like they thought this is a cool level because we don't know what else to do.
It's a cool level for GoldenEye.
But it doesn't work for skateboarding. And it's just, dude. And I was just like devastated, dude.
Yeah.
I was just like, this game is just absolutely
trash.
It's like, why would I play? Yeah. I want to play a better game. I'm just going to put the third one back in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have a game that is definitively better than this in almost every way.
Exactly. Yeah.
What did you? Why have you done this?
why have you done this to me? Yeah, exactly.
You did it 3 times.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
So the fourth one is like you made up for all the improvements you did to the first one.
Yeah.
And then Skate came out, and they were like,
"Yeah, like, right, exactly.
Yeah, don't play the Tony Hawk's anymore."
But it was the first time I ever, I think, like conceptually realized that they just were using the IP just to make money quick, like a quick buck.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really know what else to do. Here's a bunch of same assets, and it just like.
I think the thing about like,
you know what I
truly
mean?
Disappointing experiences like this, like what makes them as disappointing as they are, is that they like teach you a fundamental darkness about the world,
about
how things
There's
work.
There's a life
in the
lesson
world.
To be learned.
Like, before that,
there
was an optimism in you that is not there anymore because of this.
Right.
Like that's true for me too. But like, it sounds very dramatic to say it that way. But it really is like a. Oh, like the world does not function the way that I thought It did.
Yeah.
Like there's an inherent dishonesty here that I did not think existed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now I have to wrestle with this reality.
Now I have to navigate through this. Yeah,
so when is this going to happen to me next? Yeah. When's the next time I'm going to have to deal with this?
All they needed to nail was level design.
Exactly.
And just stick to the same formula.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It could have been DLC for, you know, they weren't doing it at the time.
But. Do you know, was it a new team or something? Was it still Neversoft?
That's a great question.
I think it was. To be honest, I'm not even sure. I just remember being so disappointed. Like, even the first level, which is like, it's just like a city area. And I was just like, is this it? Like, I don't know. Like, even that just realization. Like, the third one had
it's like
the airport.
Yellow flag, and you're like, you've still got the optimism, like, propelling you forward. But you're like, this isn't a good first impression.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, going back to the third one real quick, but like I just said, the airport, it's like, man, how cool would it be to skate in an airport? Mm-hmm. And it's like, they made these levels, and then the fourth one, they were like, we don't know what to do, so, you know?
Prison?
Prison?
Yeah. I mean, with the hitching, they had so many opportunities for, like, secrets and stuff, like hitching onto a subway or...
That busts through a wall that takes you to a new area or something. Yeah. It's like... You could have done something interesting with it, but it's such a minor feature that didn't exist before that it's like you really have to be creative about how you implement this for this to matter really at all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like a small feature that helps me keep my combo going a little bit longer, but it doesn't introduce new ideas really.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Pitch onto a plane.
Now we're talking.
Whoa!
They drop you in a whole new level. It's the only way to get to it.
That's right.
Yeah, sounds dope. So. See, we're already doing better than them.
That's right, exactly. So.
Yeah, I feel you. That's very disappointing.
Hitch onto a woman pushing a baby stroller.
What are you doing?
Take me to a secret level.
That's right.
I don't know.
That's right. Ryan, what's your first one? Ryan?
Okay, this is what I thought you were going to say for 100%. Biomutant.
Oh, okay. That was the other one.
I thought that might be one of yours.
I was pumped. Pre-ordered this game.
Dude,
and it's not super old at this point. I lived where I do currently, so...
Three or four years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new
4 years-ish.
For sure. Yeah.
Pre-ordered it on the Xbox Series X.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I was excited about it is because... it is a follow-up to one of my other most disappointing games, which I'm not going to talk about in depth because I've talked about it before, which is Fable 2 and Fable 3.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for me, the new Fable, and I was so pumped for it because Fable 2 and Fable 3 were so disappointing for me.
For sure.
Which I've talked about a lot on the podcast.
So do you chase chickens in this game?
No.
Okay.
It
is disappointing.
You make your own character.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very strong, like, good-evil vibe, which is kind of where the Fable thing was coming in. Which they talked about a lot before the game came out. Like, you're going to make these choices. It's going to change the world. You fight these crazy-looking bosses that they showed in the trailer. And I was like, man, and the character design's so cool. But then the character creator, you create these, like, really kooky but, like, still charming-looking weird creatures.
It's got a great design.
Yeah, they're somehow still cute and furry. And you can do so much with your character. Like... even though the game is disappointing, it's fun to go on the Reddit thread and just see what people have made.
Mm-hmm.
It's always hilarious. But it's an action-adventure game, and it's got like a lock-on system, like a Souls game, or like the combat's pretty similar to Fable 1, because you have like these spells that you cast that enhance the combat or change the combat for better or for worse, but... the magic in Fable 2 and Fable 3 is where it really felt short. Yeah, it really like deviated from where I was wanting Fable to go, and they were like, I thought they were going down the wrong path with Fable 2, and then they went even further down the wrong path with Fable 3.
Yeah,
and then this game looked like they were going to do it right, and I was so pumped for it. But man, the combat just didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The good and evil choices were just like. Didn't seem to matter. It was like, do you want to play this storyline or this storyline?
Oh, okay.
And they're pretty much the same storyline. You're going to go do the same exact things, but for different people with a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I never got to the ending. So, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It had a lot of good stuff about it. Like, but when it came out, you're running on the Series X and you're playing all these gorgeous games, And then this game came out, and it looked like it was in 1080.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked really off. Like, yeah. It looked older. So that was a little disappointing, because you could see the potential if this was, like, in 4K or, like, would look crazy cool. But now I'm playing on my big old TV in my living room, and it looks all pixelated and weird.
Okay.
And I don't know where the game... I'd be interested to go back and play that game.
Was it a game that they were... Was it, like, early access?
It wasn't early access. Okay. It was, like... It was a $60 Xbox game.
Mm.
And they'd been developing it for a long time. I was pumped for it for...
Do you remember who the developer is?
Mm.
I'm just curious.
Experiment 101. It's a Swedish developer.
Oh, yeah.
But published by THQ Nordic.
Right.
Which I did know that.
Yeah, I know that part, yeah.
I forgot that I knew it.
Okay. What got you hyped for this game? Like, do you feel like the marketing was overpromising?
Do
you feel like they were just vague enough that you kind of filled in the gaps with what you wanted it to be? Or, like, how exactly did you get to a point where you were like, this is the one? Or do you feel like it was purposeful misrepresentation? Or do you feel like it was just that they just let you kind of make up your own idea of what this game would be?
They did have a cinematic trailer that looked pretty cool.
That'll get you every time.
But it was pretty short, and that was pretty... They only just did the one, I think. And then the rest of the trailers were, like, from the developers explaining the gameplay, mm-hmm. explaining the concepts, and explaining why they made this game, and what's inspired them, and the direction they want to go with it. And that was all really promising, because mm-hmm. they felt human. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, kind of, like, we're gamers too. This isn't some cash grab. This is a passion project. And the gameplay that they showed, like, it looked good. But then when you actually got your hands on it, I don't know. It felt like...
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it felt like when you play a bad, like, a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And you go from, like, Halo, and then you go to, like...
Redfall.
Yeah, Redfall. it felt like that. All the enemies.
It's like they saw good combat and they recognized what good combat looked like, but they just couldn't figure out how to make it feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't have any oomph.
Yeah. That's the thing with action RPGs. I think it's really easy to fall into that trap of like,
then you...
It feels really like swimmy or like...
And I was...
It doesn't feel like I'm connecting with my hits very well.
And I'm playing Dark Souls 3 at this point a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like... loving that combat,
mm-hmm.
and then I go to Biomutant, and it's like, it just feels like kind of squishy,
and no part of it is what you thought it would be.
Yeah.
Not even just the combat.
The only thing I loved was the character creator. The intro was like too long and awkward. And I actually do think that's the one thing that I know that they've done is they've fixed the intro to make it more concise. I don't know what that entails because I haven't replayed that part, but I do remember reading up on that. So I'd be interested to go back and play it and see, like, does it look better? Does it feel better to play?
Mm-hmm.
They had some interesting spells, but overall there were only, like, maybe two or three that were, like, worth doing.
Right.
One was, like, a mushroom jump thing that was just kind of neat in combat to be able to get, like, a bird's eye aerial view, because you had guns and you had swords,
mm-hmm.
and you get these, like, cookie guns, and...
I remember this game in my head only from the CG trailer.
Yeah.
Like, I could not tell you a single thing about it except, like, the weird raccoon thing that has, like, a gun in one hand and a sword in the other.
Yeah.
That's all I remember about this game.
Yeah. It was like post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Where all the humans have died and creatures have evolved to be more intelligent.
Yeah.
Or like creatures, but like mammals mostly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have evolved
the good animals.
Yeah, the good ones. The ones.
Take a hard stance on the channels I like.
What I was saying before was all the enemies felt kind of very similar. Mm-hmm. Like you were just fighting like bigger versions of the same enemy.
Yeah.
The bosses were more unique, but they were too few and far between.
Right.
So
it sounds like it's a game that feels like they ran out of time.
Yeah.
And they started cutting corners and then they still couldn't quite get the combat and stuff ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On top of that.
The fact that it was a $60 title, I think, was a bit misleading.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Like $30 game.
Yeah. You do have an expectation when you're dropping $60. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's mine.
Yeah.
That is a shame.
It's not a bad game by any means. Like, I would probably still go back and play it and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm kind of curious to. I'd like to see you go back and play it and see what your reaction is.
I still own it on my Xbox, but yeah, might go back and try it and see. I think the developers, like, even though I'm disappointed in this game, I think the developers showed a lot of talent and potential.
Yeah.
I just think it needed to be more polished and pushed back.
Yeah.
Even though they had been working on it a long time. And I think that's, you know, why they pushed it out when they did, because people were just wanting it out.
Right.
And they didn't want that hype to go away when they pushed it out.
I'm sure it was like a... It sounds like it was more of like an investor call of like, we've given you enough money.
Yeah.
We want our Q3 earnings, or we're not going to hit our projected profits or whatever. Yeah. Get this game out.
Yeah.
Which is just that much more disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see it. I'd like to see you go back and give it another try. And
no, I'll definitely go back.
Maybe we'll do a video of that or something.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Talon.
Yep. Oh, back to me? I'm not going to go to you?
Whatever. I mean, we can go to me.
Wait. Let me guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Ooh.
Ooh, you got a good one for him? Guess?
No, I got a terrible
one. If you guess this one, I will be so surprised.
Really? Need for Speed Heat.
No. I didn't really play a lot of Need for Speed Heat. But that series had fallen off enough at that point that I was like, this game's going to be trash, isn't it? And it was like actually a little better than I thought it would be and still bad. So it's like right there.
Is it a sequel?
Yeah, I guess so. It's part of a series.
I'm way lost.
Okay.
What were you going to guess?
Nothing.
Persona. Get out of here.
Shin Megami Tensei.
Persona 5.
Yeah, that's the one, dude. I hate that game.
Oh, wow.
I haven't beaten it 3 times. That game sucks.
Whatever. This guy...
6.
Can't remember if it's evens or odds that are good.
I don't know if that's my rule or just the internet's rule.
It's definitely the internet's rule because you can look at the reviews.
It's I think it's because they have 2 different teams that alternate, and it's the odd ones that are good. One of the games that is my most disappointing is one that Natalie picked out because I had seen that it was probably going to be pretty disappointing. But it was such a big jump in the series that I was like, I still kind of want to see it. Like, it can't be as bad. And it was one of those things where it was kind of divisive because the fans were kind of almost tilting the discourse a little bit because they were so rabid about the series being good that they were like, no, it's actually really good. And you guys are just being way too hard on it because they went in a different direction and you guys don't like that, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of became one of those things where it was like the discourse was hard to make out because of how strongly people were pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
But Natalie was like, I want to try it. So I was like, let's grab it. I mean, how bad could it be? Here we are. Here we are with Pokemon Arceus. This game...
That's a great choice.
Such a cool idea, such a huge potential leap forward for this series of like.
I know very little about it.
So, you know, it's Pokemon. Yeah. You're traveling back in time to the, I think it's the Kanto region before it's like 200 years. So it's like medieval Japan, basically.
Okay. Yeah. I am on board so far.
And the whole point of the game is that, like, you are helping a research team that is discovering Pokemon for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what Pokemon
are. I'm
even
more on board.
How do they work? Blah, blah, blah. It's an open-world game. There's all these little villages that you go through. I don't know if you actually don't know anything about Arceus or if you are
No,
just...
I really don't.
I know.
I've been burned by Pokemon so bad that I just stopped following.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah, since Ruby and Sapphire, I've never had fun in a Pokemon game.
So, like, the story premise is you are part of the first research team to go out and discover Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you do... You can, like, go into the future and change the outcome of the history of Pokemon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, like, doing timey-wimey stuff as the narrative structure or whatever.
Does it have – is it gameplay-wise, though, is it a Pokemon game?
It is a – so you are running around in real time.
Okay.
You throw Pokemon out in real time, and they will fight each other. And you are, like, moving around and watching them.
I watched a friend play this game for a little bit.
So that's the huge leap forward is that the battles are kind of happening in real time.
Yeah.
And you can, like, release your Pokemon in camp and, like, talk to them or feed them or whatever. And they're – so it's got a lot of really interesting ideas. The Pokemon have unique behaviors based on their personality type in the wild, so some might be more aggressive than others. There's like alpha Pokemon that have like red eyes that are super strong. They do some smart ideas that are like this is the lead up of like they got my hopes up. Mm-hmm. They had so many cool ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, how bad could this game be? Like this stuff sounds really cool.
Yeah.
They had like this, I can't remember what the mechanic was called, but it was like a thing where you could basically hunt Pokemon in a particular area and every Pokemon you catch will increase the likelihood that you get a shiny of it. So like within an hour of hunting the same Pokemon, you can basically guarantee you'll get a shiny of that Pokemon or whatever. So there's a lot of little mechanics. You can like when Pokemon need to change abilities and stuff, you can just do it right there when they evolve or like when they're in your... So quality of life stuff is there or whatever. But the combat in practice is actually like pretty simplistic, especially for like real-time combat stuff. And you can like switch your Pokemon in and out. But when you do that, like when you're trying to take full advantage of like your team, it starts messing up attack priority in a really weird way that feels like it becomes really difficult to predict like, well, when should I switch out? And so it kind of disincentivizes you to even like use different Pokemon. And there's like the personality thing doesn't actually mean that much in practice.
Mm-hmm.
The alpha Pokemon basically is just like run away until you have a high level Pokemon. That's the interesting mechanic that you're experiencing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The world itself is like so barren. Oh. It is unreal.
Yes.
When you see it in action, you cannot believe that this is a final finished game.
Yeah.
That has been out for 2 years. If you go back and look at that game, it is like literally like the ground is a greenish texture. Like, and then there's a few little pieces.
Which is so weird for a Nintendo game to do.
Because
they push that Switch to its limits.
It's weird because that is happening even when you're standing on the ground. Now imagine you climb onto a Pokemon that can fly and you fly over that world. It doesn't even look like Minecraft, dude. I mean, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
And it's run the cardinal sin for me is like the two things you can do that will make me rage quit your game the fastest are unresponsive controls or like unintuitive controls that just aren't working correctly and frame rate drops where what I'm doing doesn't really matter because it's not being interpreted for another 3 seconds or whatever.
And it's not like it's your fault because you're playing on the Switch. It's designed for the Switch and it doesn't run.
Exactly. Right. It's only on the Switch.
Yeah.
You can't play it on anything else. You don't get to go to a better console that can run it.
Right.
And the frame rate is like constantly just bottoming out. I'm talking like single digit frames.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, it's like unpredictable. It's like, what is causing you to freak out right now? Like, I don't even. And then you might like go on the other side of a ridge and there's like 100 Pokemon. Like sitting
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I wasn't even engaging with the thing that's crashing this game out right now.
Yeah.
And then like the city areas, like they just don't have very much personality. It's like the archetypal like medieval Japan style stuff, which looks cool. I'm very into that.
Yeah, me too.
But it's just like there's nothing really interesting. It doesn't have a lot of personality in the cities or how they're built.
Yeah.
The characters are exactly what you think they're going to be. Like there's just so much of it that's just like gut punch after gut punch of like. And then when you look, even today, when I was going back to look at this game and be like, did it look as bad as I remember it being? So many videos on YouTube are like, you have to go back and play this game, like the underappreciated gem, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's just like comment after comment. Like I looked at original reviews, which were weirdly positive because I feel like they were worried they were just going to get their office burned down if they criticized Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so many people are like, this is such a clear step in the right direction for Nintendo. Like the diehard fans, that's the best thing they can say about this game is that it's clearly a step in the right direction. But is it? Is it? Or is it just a little bit different?
Yeah. Like, it's just different, but it's bad.
I just can't. And then they had a sequel that was very similar and somehow worse, apparently.
Yeah.
I just can't understand how.
And that's the direction Pokemon's been taking for me ever since like Sword and Shield.
That's what we talked about with the POW World episode, is that like how can a company with seemingly endless budget, endless time, endless resources, backed by one of the big three, come out with such an underbaked nothingness of a game.
Yeah.
That's like, and there's no multiplayer. So when you're done with the single player, you're done. And the single player, I mean, it is the most like, go do this, Now go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now go do this.
Yeah.
And there's no, you would expect them to do some kind of different structure with an open world game because you should be doing something a little bit different. But it is as if you are playing an old school Pokemon game where they want you to just follow a linear path.
Yeah.
But in an open world.
Yeah.
Where the open world does not matter other than you're going to want a Pokemon that flies before you go over there. Because otherwise walking sucks.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, because I have played this game and I was disappointed with it because I enjoyed my time with Sword and Shield, but it had been a, like, I don't think I've ever owned a Pokemon game. Like, I played other people's Pokemon games and stuff like that before.
You broke into their house and played their
Yeah,
games.
Just broke in, just snuck under their covers, took their Game Boy away from them.
Had the light. Why spend $60?
What's your save? Right. Show me your save.
That's right. Yeah. So,
you got a Gengar.
That's the most important
part. You're trading
part.
That to me right
you
now.
You have a Gengar. Yeah, exactly. So, because I was playing it through with my sister and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We were playing online together, having a good time. But anyways, Arceus comes out. And it has this weird, I don't know if you've noticed it, but it has like a weird like purple haze. Like the whole world has this weird like purple haze. Like and I'm like, I don't even understand.
It's the past.
What it's got. Do
you not
from.
Understand that it's the past?
So
it was the
weird.
70s, right?
And it's like, sure, the Pokemon attack you and you have to dodge out of the way. I'm like, that's cool, but their animations look like trash. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally just hover on the ground instead of, like, running.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know. It's so weird. Like, they
not
actually,
just that, but, like, they fade away at such a short distance that it's like, you have to basically be within catching distance before you know they're there.
Right.
Yeah. So the whole world feels empty. It feels like a ghost town until you're up against.
Well, if they didn't do that, your Switch would have caught on fire.
Yeah. Almost did.
Yeah. You go to the past, you have such a great like concept and just utter failure, dude.
Oh, the concept has me intrigued.
I put like 12 hours in and I was like, dude, I can't take it anymore. Yeah. And the battles weren't even like fun to watch. You'll just throw your Pokemon out and you'll just run.
Yeah.
They're watching battle, but the battling is just like
the weird thing is like
just this random spark effect and that's it. And it's like that doesn't even look cool, dude.
The effects are so terrible.
It's horrible. Yeah. And it's like if you go back and you watch like Pokemon Colosseum like on the GameCube, it's like
looks so
real
much
effects.
Better.
It's like it looks so good.
Yeah.
You guys could have just taken they look just as good. You could have taken them out of the Nintendo 64 game and just put them in
and
this
put them
game.
In there. Boom.
But I guess that was too much for the system
too much.
To handle.
Yeah. It just
that's just it's like
horrible.
I don't know, man. It's just so wild.
I get
me.
To see the disappointment.
Like, it's so wild.
Bleeding
how do you drop
eyes?
The ball so bad.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't know. It's just I wouldn't expect a Pokemon game to be in my top disappointments because I stopped following Pokemon after a certain point because it was the same thing over and over again for me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't super interested in the designs of the newer Pokemon. So I was like, when Arceus came around, it was kind of like a, well, like I haven't played a Pokemon game.
Like a refresh.
It sounds fun to get back into Pokemon.
Yeah.
So it was just that much more disappointing when I was like coming back for the first time in like 10 years and... And wait,
and this is it?
This is not a Nintendo 64 game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Horrible, yeah.
Well, I don't want to say what I've been doing recently with Pokemon, or I'm afraid Pokemon will sue me.
They will come after you.
Yeah.
But it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
You've told me about it.
Yeah. That's right. So if you want to know, just email me.
Okay, email. Did I say
about
podcast?
My recent Pokemon journey and my Pokemon recommendation? Because I have been playing Pokemon, but I haven't been playing Pokemon.
Oh.
Nice. Subtle. Mm-hmm.
Is it Arceus?
It's not a secret. I'm like years late on this bandwagon, but when I discovered it, I'm like, dang.
He's doing the game. Twitch plays, but it's just him by himself putting in all the commands.
Have you seen where people are having like the square root of pi play Pokemon?
No.
It's just like inputting this like formula, and it hasn't gotten to the first gym leader yet, but it's been playing for like 6 years. So it just has it has like a level 99 like grovel. And, or like a level 100 grovel, and then like five zigzagoons that are level one, like five and four.
Because it won't switch.
and they check back in on That's it, and so it's funny. Back in the like the starting town. And they're like, it's gone back to the starting town. We were so close to the gym leader. And it's been going for so long.
That's hilarious.
But,
I have to
so get to level 100 off fighting zigzagoons and the stupid bird Pokemon that they came out with on that generation.
Let that be a lesson. It'll only take you 6 years to max out your Pokemon, your first one, before you get
so
to the
good.
Gym.
Right, exactly.
That's hilarious. Okay, now, Taylan, now you tell me your second
game. Okay. You have any guesses? I don't think you guys will
Is it a sequel
it.
Again?
It is a sequel.
Okay. Last of Us 2. I swear to if you say yes.
This one's going to really mess on my jimmies.
Hang on. Is it the sequel to... Because I actually don't know how you felt about it. Is it the sequel to Horizon?
Zero.
No. That's a good one, though. I wasn't, like, disappointed. I guess I was kind of, I don't know if I ever got your feelers for that one.
But, yeah.
I feel like a lot of people were like disappointed in that game, but not like, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They still played it. They were just like, I wish this were better.
Is it a Sony? Is it like a Sony game?
No.
Is it?
It came out what?
Resident Evil 5?
No, I like that game.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't think it's great, but it's fun.
Says a lot about you, but okay.
Resident Evil 6, but that's a different story.
Okay.
But that's not. Okay, here is. I waited in line. The midnight release. This is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I love...
I think that's an unpopular opinion.
I love... Oh, it definitely
it's
is.
That game is very divisive, I would say.
I love Westerns. Like, I loved like I loved Gun, if you guys ever played Gun. I played... and then I loved Red Dead Revolver on the PS2. And I loved Red Dead Redemption when it came out.
Okay.
Anyways, Red Dead Redemption comes out. It's great. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, the Zombies DLC, where you explore the Western with zombies. It's great. Love it. And then, so Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm not a big Rockstar guy. Like, I don't buy the GTA games.
Same. I honestly considered putting GTA 5 on my most disappointing games list.
Mm. That's also an unpopular opinion.
It was extremely unpopular, yeah.
Yeah. And
that's why I didn't put it. I was feared for my life.
Mm-hmm. I'll cut this, don't worry.
So I get home, pop it in my PlayStation 4, and, man, I don't think I've been more disappointed in a game in my life.
You should have popped it in your Xbox.
That's the problem. Popped it in the wrong console.
Yeah,
exactly.
Did you try riding your horse?
The problem is everything takes so long to do anything in that game.
Oh, my gosh, Taylan, you just don't get it.
You don't appreciate the narrative.
Like, that's a design decision to, like, make you appreciate nature. Yeah.
You don't like drama?
You don't like tension?
Of tension of not doing anything? Yeah, exactly. It's like you kill the deer, you go to skin the deer, then you have to carry the pelt to your horse, then you throw the pelt on your horse, then you get on your horse, and you got to make sure you monitor your hunger and your thirst and your cold and blah, 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 blah. Dude,
I
don't want these in my game.
Okay, I said that the two big things were frame rate and controls. Mm-hmm. Unskippable animations that are not functionally doing anything are the third thing that are like cardinal sin. I will not play your game.
Yeah.
Like, I will rage quit a game with, like, we've talked about how Monster Hunter does this, but the thing is, Monster Hunter locks you into attack animations to force you to think strategically about, is this the right time to do this attack with this monster? Mm-hmm. When I'm carving a deer, I don't want to watch the same cutscene for 600 times and then watch the same other cutscene of me loading it onto my horse or whatever. Like, it's like, I get, like, doing it once or maybe, like, doing it in a cutscene or something, but, like, making it happen every single time as a resource that I have to farm to upgrade components. Mm-hmm. It's like such a necessary part of the game. And then you're making me watch this cutscene every single, what do you think you are providing to me as a player to do that?
Yeah.
It feels like such a selfish decision for them to be like, no, you need to watch this art of us.
Watch it.
We made this cutscene of him carving a deer, and you're going to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the
thousands.
Best way to make sure I don't appreciate it, because I have to watch it so many times. Yeah. I'm going to hate this.
And you're going to have to make your own bullets, and you're going to have to do this and this and that. And then it's just like, and it's like, when I popped this game in, I was like, man, this looks gorgeous.
Yeah, for sure.
Great animations, great voice acting. Like, they put some major work. I mean, obviously, they put major work into the whole game as a whole. But to me, it's like, I don't want to spend all my time doing the menial tasks. I want to be able to take my horse, run past a bush, press circle or B, and scoop up my herbs and keep going, because that's what keeps me into the game. It's not, it doesn't feel like a game. It feels like a simulator. That works, obviously, for tons of people. Because
the
they
like,
love this game, but I...
If you look me in the face and you tell me that that's why you like Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm going to call you a liar.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
no way that you like the fact that you have to watch those cutscenes. You can like Red Dead 2.
It's so immersive.
I'm not saying that you can't like Red Dead 2. I'm saying if you say that that part of Red Dead 2 is a net positive for you, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you.
Well, I had a friend when I, in my previous job, I worked with a bunch of rednecks, mm-hmm. and this guy was not a gamer, but me and him got along, and we were pretty close friends. He bought, I want to say he bought an Xbox, the Series S, mm-hmm. and then he got Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah,
and he had never played Red Dead Redemption 1, but he loved Westerns, and that's one thing me and him talked about a lot, because for me, Westerns are like either great or they're terrible, because they're either cheesy or they're really like intense and mm-hmm. suspenseful.
Right, mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And so we talked about different Westerns and stuff, and then I recommended this game, because he was going to buy an Xbox for this, for some, I think a sports game.
Yeah.
And then he buys Red Dead Redemption 2, and he is in love with it. Mm-hmm. He's like, how have video games come this far? Because, like, the last game I played was on, like, the original PlayStation. It was, like, Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
he's like, and then you jump into Red Dead Redemption 2, and he's like, it's just so real. And he talks mm-hmm. about all these, like, the animations that he's doing and, yeah, like, all that yeah. stuff.
I'm happy that he's happy. Yeah. It warms my heart to hear a guy be like, to basically discover a medium again yeah. for the first time
yeah.
is awesome. Like yeah. I'm how could I be upset that this guy is enjoying the game that much?
Yeah.
But I just play another game.
Yeah.
And go back to that.
Yeah.
And then you tell me, now yeah. that you have any point of reference,
yeah.
do you
yeah.
think
yeah. perspective will
do you think
it.
This
yeah.
part of it is good?
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. I don't know. I have listened to people fight almost to the death about that game on like Game of the Year Award mm-hmm. podcasts and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I mean, I've heard people say that they played over 100 hours of that game, played all the way through it, beat it, and it's one of their least favorite games they've ever played. Hmm. Just like,
I only put like 20 hours into it, and
which I think it's a fair amount of time.
And it just, I mean, that's like three horses you
see, yeah,
Andre.
Yeah.
It just kept going, and every time it would come to something where you have to just, it's just the same thing. It's just you gotta make your bullets, and you gotta. And it's like, it's weird because it's like that game just, it just looks so good.
Mm-hmm. Not just looks good, but like the characters are incredibly well written. The story
right,
is
exactly.
fantastic. Like they hide
but it wasn't
all of
enough
this
to
behind
me to
that.
Keep,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough
yeah.
for me to keep going. Like the first 5 hours of the game take place in snow and it takes forever. Like you're on the cart and the cart just breaks down and it loses the wheel. Then you got to get off and then you got to put the wheel on. And then it's just like so slow. And dude. I get it because it's like, oh, you're in the West. Things
this is how it
slower.
Is out here. Yeah.
Things are a little slower. And it's like, yeah, I get it. But it's also like my time is valuable.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend my precious mm-hmm. 2 hours
yeah.
a
yeah.
week.
Like, maybe
that,
that point you know? Is good to impart in like the beginning
mm-hmm.
to make you understand like where this character's coming from and like the difficulty that he had to get here and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And that establishes something about him, but then it never stops.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like the whole game that is a design philosophy in Red Dead 2
yeah.
that everything is hard to do and takes forever. Even when like the game is not trying to communicate to you that it was like hard to gather that herb.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to gather that herb in an economic sense because you're like, I don't even know if I want to grab this herb.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
even know if I want to do this.
Right.
Man.
Yeah.
I have to make a conscious effort whether I want to gather a resource or not.
Yeah.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, you don't truly have a choice unless you just want other things to take longer because you didn't upgrade components from your character.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like so intrinsic in the game, it saturates every part of it that it's like, but like you said, it's what is infuriating about it is that there are so many things in that game that are truly like top class,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great.
That you won't
you'll probably
find
never
in,
see,
yeah,
so,
in another game,
yeah.
other than another Rockstar game
yeah.
whenever they
yeah.
come out. You know what I mean?
It's awful.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm right there with you.
It's like
I've never even played
great.
Red Dead.
You can see like insects flying around, like hovering over the water, and it's like, man, it's like this looks so good, but I just don't like being here.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
was
yeah.
it's like it seems so
you've
like,
done too
weird,
well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you've done too good of a job at communicating to me how miserable it is to live here.
yeah,
I am now miserable.
Yeah, so but it's like I've never gone back to play it because it just left such like an impression on me, or like I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. Huh. So I would be interested to go back to see if like my opinion has changed. Or
that's
whatever.
A surprising. That's surprising
careful
to me.
What you
I've
say,
never
Taylor,
played.
We'll do it.
I've never played the Red Dead Redemption series, mainly because I'm not a huge fan of Rockstar.
Yeah, I'm not a big Rockstar fan.
I'm there with you.
But there's been a couple times where I've almost bought it. It was on sale, Red Dead Redemption 1 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. If I owned it, I would probably dip into it.
Yeah, but I just haven't gotten there. Yeah. So, but I've heard great things about all the Red Dead stuff, so that's surprising to me.
Well, I think another thing, too, is like it's coming off the back of Red Dead Redemption, where it doesn't have any of this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't take this long to do anything.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they would just like...
Their direction was realism.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Just pure realism.
And I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe try a different way next time.
I can also appreciate it from a distance.
Yeah.
I will listen to people talk about it.
Yeah.
Not with the controller in my hand.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's like you go and you watch YouTube videos and they're like... on the back of a train, and they've got one hung on a lasso, and they're like flying back and forth. And I was like, dude, that's the fun of the game. You know, it looks great. And then you get in it, and you're like, where's the fun?
It's the same thing as Grand Theft Auto, where it's like the multiplayer has taken on a life of its own because people, that game allows you to reach such a level of like immersion in that character that you're playing that people like they do role playing servers where people are like pretending to be a sheriff or a criminal or a doctor or whatever, and they're all just like it's like an MMO at that point. They just pretend to be that thing, and the game like facilitates that, and that's super interesting, but I don't want to do that either. I don't want to play Grand Theft Auto and pull people over for speeding.
Yeah.
Like, and then have to call it in to the police station where a dispatcher is telling me in real time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane.
Or, like, you got to go to court for all your violations, and you've got to, like, get a lawyer.
Now, the irony is, do I want to watch a TikTok of that?
Yeah, 100%. I don't want to play it, but I want to watch it.
Do I want to be the judge? Absolutely.
Do I want someone to mod Grand Theft Auto in this way for this content? Yes, I do. I picture like Red Dead like trailer, you know, like lassoing trains and like taking down like other like cowboys and stuff. And and then you get to play the game, and you're playing a mini game where if you roast your marshmallow too long, you got to start over. We're not in the.
We're doing a no-fail run on the marshmallows. All right. Well,
let's go to me.
Ryan,
let's go
what's to your you. Last? What's your last one?
Mine is a bit interesting, and it's one that.
Well, I hope so.
You guys would never guess is a Dark Alliance 3.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You play it, and either.
I've never played it. I know what
I've played Dark Alliance 2.
Okay, which is great.
It's a great game.
What is it on?
Everything. It's on everything. Besides Switch, I think. I doubt it's on Switch.
When did it come out?
2 years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dark Alliance 2 did not come out 2 years ago.
Came out a very long time ago.
Very long time.
I can't look it up.
Which is why it's on my... It's why it's my other disappointing game. Is because Dark Alliance 2 was so long ago.
Yeah.
And was one of the best games of its time.
Wasn't Dark Alliance 2 like a PS2 game?
Yeah.
Did we just say that?
Yeah.
It had cool water effects.
GameCube, PS2.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
And it was like a dungeon crawler. And there's a lot of confusion with Baldur's Gate 3 when it was coming out, because people were like, this isn't Baldur's Gate. And they were referring to Dark Alliance Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
They were thinking this was a sequel to it because it had the Baldur's Gate name in it. Little did they know there was actually a game called Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like turn-based combat, Baldur's Gate 3, turn-based combat. So they're like, why did they take it in this direction? So there was a little bit of a love-hate with it because some people were expecting something else, and not everyone's a fan of turn-based, which I totally get. And my friend Andrew was like, I told him Baldur's Gate 3 is coming out, and he was like, oh, so pumped. But he did not know. I'm talking about Baldur's Gate 3, not the sequel to Dark Alliance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
you just hate this game because it made conversation so difficult for you.
That might be part of it.
Yeah.
Well, then... Shortly after the Baldur's Gate 3 release, Dark Alliance gets announced. Mm-hmm. Dark Alliance 3.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's just called Dark Alliance. I think they are like trying to reboot the franchise.
Yeah,
sure.
And they took this game in such a different direction. Do y'all know anything about it?
No,
but I assume it's not like a isometric loot grind like 2 was.
It had no, it's not at all. It's like mission based. It's got the same formula as the new the Back 4 Blood, where you have like a hub. And you have like these NPCs that you talk to, and they like You do missions and you get like you get ranked on your mission on how well you did. So you're trying to get like S rank, mm-hmm. and then you come back and you get like cosmetic stuff. And you play classes that are very linear. They have like combos, and you pretty much have all that unlocked at the get go. And weird. It was so boring.
It sounds boring. Yes. Like just on its face, like the level that design, idea sounds boring.
Level design bad. It's like not fun to play.
Yeah.
I played it right when it came out. I don't think they've improved it much. I think they tried to improve it a little bit, but I think it flopped so hard they just didn't have the money to keep
They
it.
Just said no way.
Yeah. I think maybe if it was they had more money they might be able to make something of that game, but the formula was like it was such a cash grab, like live service, like opportunity is what they were trying to create,
yeah.
where they had to put as little work in as possible mm-hmm. to create some season pass content so they can keep making money off this
it's
game
so for
years. It's
so frustrating because they're burning
yeah.
like such a like a franchise with so much potential
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
So just for the sake of like trying to effectively trick people to get
yeah.
them in the door.
Yeah.
Of like, well, if it's Dark Alliance, it
yeah.
has to be good,
yeah.
right? Like I remember this game when I was a kid.
Yes.
I loved that game.
Yeah.
And then you buy it and then
it's
not,
not
only unrecognizable,
yeah.
but
yeah.
also has no clear intent behind
yeah.
it.
At no point would if this game wasn't called Dark Alliance, would you relate this to a Dark
mm-hmm.
Alliance game?
Mm-hmm. It sounds
yeah.
a bit like the Warhammer 40K first-person shooter. I think it's called Inquisition.
Yes.
But that game I thought was really interesting,
mm-hmm.
even when they released it like in early access.
Yeah, that's what
it
reminded
was like.
Me of
but
when it came out.
But it sounds like just from the little bit that you've told me about it, it sounds like they kind of strip away all the stuff
yeah.
that makes 40K interesting.
Well, you see it's a Dark Alliance game, and then you see the flashy combat that they have,
yeah.
and you put two and two together that you actually get to level these characters up and
right.
unlock these like really flashy moves, but that's not at all the case.
Yeah, it feels disingenuous.
Yes, yeah. I don't think they made the game very clear from
mm-hmm.
the get-go
mm-hmm.
what it was. And what it was a cash grab. Like,
really?
How can we create another live service game to kind of lazily make money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's drop the Dark Alliance 3 name on it, or
right.
Dark Alliance name on it. That'll get some sales.
So is that what pulled you personally into
yeah.
it, was the Dark Alliance name?
Yeah, I was like...
I mean, that would pull me in, but I would assume it's like a loot grind.
Yeah. Oh, which I love.
I love those too.
Yeah, but no.
You guys heard about Diablo?
Yeah.
I almost put Diablo 4 on my...
Yeah, I actually reached out to my cousin and I was like, hey, what are your most disappointing games? And he said, Diablo 4 and Agony.
I asked one of my friends, they said, one of the Lunar games. And I said, that is so on brand for you and doesn't help me at all. But it sucks to see. Because the thing is, if
that
they try another Dark Alliance game, no one's going to pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
Everyone who would have had any interest in that game is now like,
yeah, I had no idea
polar
this game was
opposite.
Even out.
Yeah, I actually didn't even... Like, I remember... Whoops. I remember hearing something about
yeah.
a Dark Alliance game,
yeah.
but I kind of assumed that it
and
was...
And this is why I knew you guys would never guess it, because it has been forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard.
Kind of, yeah.
yeah.
You said 2 years ago?
Yeah, something like
roughly
that.
Roughly 2 years
yeah.
ago?
Well, yeah. that's a shame that they freaking did
yeah,
that.
That's terrible.
So what is the combat like?
It's very straightforward. Like, you do... A combo button.
Is it still
press.
Like isometric kind of, or is it?
No,
third
it's third person.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm imagining. Is
yeah.
like a behind the back
yeah.
kind of thing.
Is
it? Does the? What would you compare the combat to? Because in my head, I'm thinking of the that MMO that we used to play, where the combat was actually super basic, but it looks super flashy.
An MMO, you said?
Yeah, it was like a free to play MMO. Terra, that's what
yeah.
it was. Yeah.
Don't think it feels like Terra.
Is that game Terra
Bowl?
It's definitely catering to a very specific demographic that I am not in.
Gotcha.
The costumes get a little too much for
it's
me.
It's so surprising that that game is still alive.
100%, yeah.
It's so
I might
weird.
Play it today.
I went back and played it because we had a lot of fun playing it when it first
yeah.
came out
uh-huh.
Because the combat was so cool
yeah,
for an MMO.
It just looks really interesting compared to other MMOs.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at free-to-play MMOs, the pool
they
is
had,
very shallow.
They started doing season pass content for that game. And it was so weird. It was aliens. The whole season pass was aliens stuff, and not
just
even
what they've been missing.
Not even like cool alien stuff like Alien. It's like really cheesy alien looking stuff, like
gray head alien kind of thing.
Dude, I hate
with
that.
The big old black eyes. Yeah, and like really cheesy UFOs.
Ugh,
and
get out of here!
It dude. Was so weird. Like, what a awful direction.
Okay, right. Sometimes you should do some market research. Yeah. Okay, yeah, not completely against market research.
No kidding.
I have no idea, but I dropped that so quick.
Dude,
like,
no joke.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. No, that was cool though. This is a good episode. I like this.
It was a lot of fun.
Next, we'll do least anticipated,
but highly
recommend.
Somehow, even more difficult for me to think of.
Yeah,
I've got a few for sure. Because I thought about
just like
games that just blindsided you.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, if I've got 2 weeks,
and
to
there's
think about
nothing
it.
Quite like being blindsided by a good game,
mm-hmm.
Where you're like, I'm
pleasant
not sure.
Pleasant surprise.
I'm
heck yeah,
kidding.
Man.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you. Okay, cool. Well.
I gotta take us out soon because that camera's gonna die.
Yeah,
take us out.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
Sam Webster.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't belong here.
Don't you know I love the outro?
Oh, great. Here we go.
Ryan's
thanks to Sam Webster.
Wait for him to pull out another pickle
for
out
what?
Of his other pocket.
Why are you
starting chomping down
about,
on it?
I forgot about the pickle, man. This episode. I don't want to be associated with this. Don't thank Sam Webster.
Sam Webster for recommending me the garlic pickle from the gas station. What a great recommendation. Juicy.
Okay, but if they have games that they played that they were hyped for that were disappointing, let us know.
And don't tell me Anthem 100 times in the comments
Anthem,
section.
Mass Effect.
I'm so tired of the amount of comments we get on our videos, guys. Come on.
My mom, if she mentions Anthem, I'm going to be so mad.
If your mom tells me Anthem... I'm going to be so peeved,
that's right.
Bro. I will call her.
Yeah. The best way to get a hold of us like as quick as possible is put a comment in the YouTube section. I think that's where we're going to notice it as quickest. But you can email us. Email us at dididisaypodcast@gmail.com.
If you have any questions, recommendations.
Listen, anywhere you get your podcast, you can listen to us. Watch the videos on YouTube if you're listening to this on podcast.
Why are you looking at us? Look at that.
Then you get to see me eat the pickle.
Look at that.
Otherwise, you're like, what's going on?
Oh, man. I
don't
didn't
miss out on
think
that.
About this as audio. Oh, man. That's so much worse.
It's great. And don't forget to save.
And don't forget to
save.
To save. Or you'll lose your progress. And that's not fun.